Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
What's that?
Steve said he was born ready.
I was born ready.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're talking about Eddie Hearn suing Jake Paul, Beeb. Title Town, he's suing us for over $1 million. $100 million, by the way. 100, not one, 100. And the Triple G and Canelo buy rates are in, and we'll tell you all about it. But first, we're going to get started with the juggernaut, Joe Joyce, versus Joseph Parker. Joe Joyce beats Joseph Parker by TKO in the 11th round. Parker, I thought, did pretty good early, but Joyce just wore him down. He took a lot of big shots, too, man. Eventually took him out in the 11th. Joe Joyce has got an iron chin. He got hit with some big shots, you know. There, I mean, it was he gets hit, no question, but he doesn't go anywhere. You know, I mean, he's been hit by some big punchers, man. He doesn't go anywhere. Let's face it, not too many people. You haven't seen too many people handle Joseph Parker like that. I fully expected this fight to go the distance, man, but Joe Joyce honestly was just way too much for him. The biggest win of Joe Joyce's career, and this puts him in line for a title shot. With the win, Joe Joyce gets the WBO interim title. Now listen. I don't know why there's an interim title when we have a WBO heavyweight champion. That makes absolutely no sense to me. None. With the win, who's better than Joe Joyce right now in the heavyweight division? Beeb, for the longest time, you called this guy and said he was garbage. You said he was trash. I told you from jump that this guy was going to be something. And you see me on Twitter yesterday, I was calling you out, son, all day on Twitter after that fight. Go ahead.
Joe Joyce.
Give me the excuses, Beeb.
Joe Joyce is by far, far and away, the second best heavyweight in the world behind TF.
TF. That's a good fight. Let me ask you, him and Tyson Fury, that's a competitive fight, no?
Yeah, and anyone versus this guy.
That's competitive, man. Yes, go ahead, please.
Do you want to hear a fun fact about Joe Joyce?
Yes.
Shout out to Maestro Boxing, Emil Carr. He told me this, and I actually went and researched it. Joe Joyce got a bone density test, and his bone density is 6 times the amount of an average human being. That's part of the reason why I suspect he's able to
take those shots.
It's his bone density. And he's got stamina for days. And I talked about this a little bit on the roundtable because everyone says how slow Joe Joyce is, right? But he's efficient. Whenever you're not the most quick, explosive, flashy guy in the world, I know a lot of people compare him to George Foreman, right? They have two things in common. And when I say compare, I'm not saying they're identical. I'm not saying they're the same. They have a similarity, right, in the way they throw their punches. George Foreman, if you go back and look at that Michael Moore knockout, that was a 6-inch punch, right? So whenever you're not the quickest person in the world, and I've learned, we were taught this in the gym too, you shorten up the movements, right? So in other words, if you want to get from point A to point B and you don't have the fastest car in the world, what do? You take a shortcut. It's the same thing. When you talk about efficiency and, you know, being effective, right? It's Joe Joyce's biomechanics. When you watch how he throws, he's throwing these shots from the elbow. He's throwing these punches almost like a Wing Chun type punch. If you watch him, he's like this. He's just like this. He's not using a lot of movement, not winding up, pulling back, not snapping, like snapping in with it, like leaning in with his shoulders. When he throws his hooks, he's not really pulling back and torquing them. He's just, everything is short, compact, and it's just an abbreviated movement. So these shots, and he brings a lot of volume as well. So these shots are getting there, right? Because the movements, he can generate so much power with throwing punches from just like such a short distance. So you're throwing 6-inch punches like George Foreman used to do. You're throwing these like little short clubbing movements, right? It's all biomechanics. That's all it is, right? He's just throwing these punches, and he's abbreviating the movements, basically. And that's why they're getting there fast. And he's got great timing. He knows how to punch in between his opponent's combinations, right? All you gotta do is look at those punches he was throwing yesterday. Everything was like boom, boom, like you know, and not everything is hard, but even when he jabs, he throws his jab like from his elbow. Like boom.
Yep.
Boom. He's not like stepping in one like this.
He's not putting his full shoulder behind it. He's not putting his hips in it. He's just connecting.
He's putting minimal amount of his body, and by shortening up and putting less of an emphasis on the other body parts, right? The movement becomes abbreviated, and it becomes and another thing too is he's using less energy in doing it. See how calm and relaxed he is? He's just like, you know what I mean?
No, he's able to save his energy like that. He's calm.
Else is like, yeah, everyone else is stepping in like,
yep.
This guy's just like, Foreman was a, you ever see Foreman, see how really, in the second half,
the old George Foreman, yep.
See how relaxed he was, and he never really, like, he just knew how to, I use the term getting a lot out of a little.
Yeah.
Right? Little movement, but getting a giant return. So that's what it is. He's throwing like 6-inch punches. He's abbreviating the movement, and he's putting less effort and strain on his body, and that's how he's able to preserve himself.
Yeah, I said it ever since, you know, like I said, I mean, I've been singing his praises for a long time. You know this as well as I do, Beeb. I've been on his bandwagon forever. You know, I told you he was going to beat Dubois. It was the guy who quit. That was Dubois, right? Yeah, the guy who quit against him. Yeah, that was him.
When you lost the pie bet? Is that when you lost the pie bet because you picked Dubois?
No. In fact, I won the pie bet because I picked Joyce.
It's on record.
You can go look. I'm telling you. I had Joyce in that fight. I had Joyce. You know what irritates me about this whole thing? The way that you constantly down Joe Joyce, and now look at him. Now look at him, son. Huh? What are you going to say? It was tough love? Look at you.
Second best.
You were constantly down on that guy. And now look at him, buddy. He's the second best heavyweight in the world. Maybe the second best heavyweight in the world behind TF. I agree with you. I think TF beats him, but I think it's no cakewalk. That's for sure.
I think Joe Joyce beats Joshua. I think he beats Wilder.
The fight I want to see. That's the fight I want to see. I want to see Joe Joyce versus Wilder, man. I think that's a great fight.
I'm going to bring up another point, right? This is why he beats Usyk, and I don't care what anyone says. Go back and look at the Chisora fight. Look at these Joshua fights, particularly the second fight. Because Joshua made a really good account of himself in that fight, in my opinion, right? Some people had that fight 7-5. I had it 8-4. Can argue 7-5. It was a competitive fight. Here's the problem when these guys fight Usyk. Chisora was winning until he faded. Joshua was coming back into the fight, and he was making a run. Looked like he was going to get his second win, and he was in the fight. But those guys faded. This guy, Joe Joyce, doesn't fade. So what's going to happen when Usyk's in there with a guy, right, who gets his second win, unlike these other guys who never get their second win, and he's able to capitalize on that. Now, credit to Usyk. He gets his second win, too. He's able to get a second win because he's in there with guys who can't sustain the pressure that they apply from the beginning, right? You got a guy like Joyce who's going to give it to you from start to finish without any fading points, right? That gas tank is getting a steady flow of that energy, right? So what happens if there's no fade and Usyk kicks into his second gear and Joe Joyce is already in his fourth and fifth gear? What's going to happen there?
That's it, man. You know, he doesn't. He does have a gas tank for days, man. And I think it's because, like you said, he's so calm in there that he doesn't let it rattle him. And he's what is he, 33 now? Is he 33?
37.
Wow.
But it doesn't matter, though, because he's got the bone density of 6 times the amount of a human being.
Of course, nothing matters now.
You know what he's like? If you want to get
the thing, the clobbering time guy?
Well, he's like the Wolverine. The adamantium. He's got the adamantium skeleton.
The adamantium.
You don't see these things. He's got an adamantium skeleton. He's got the bone density 6 times a human being.
Shut up.
Like the Wolverine. Without the claws, of course. Without the claws, of course. He's like the Wolverine. Got an adamantium skeleton.
Oh boy. Who do you think he fights in that? Why does he have an interim WBO title when we have a WBO champion? That makes zero sense to me. Why do we have an interim? The interim is if the guy's on the shelf or something like that, then we have an interim, and then those two fight, and then it goes back to normal. I don't get these. Why don't we just fight for any belt? Why don't we just every match is a title match. We have a TV title, too, the U.S. title, like wrestling.
Reese Mack, I just looked at an article. It says 6 times.
You guys are arguing about his bone density?
I'll drop the link if you want me to. It says 6 times.
So who does he fight next? Who would you like to see him fight next? I would love to see him fight Wilder, but who do you think he fights next? I don't think the Wilder fight will happen, by the way.
You know who I'd like to see him fight next, to be perfectly honest with you?
Yeah.
Hrgović. I think he'll destroy Hrgović, but that's another guy who's up there in the rankings.
If he's 37, I mean, let's say he doesn't have a whole lot of time. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. He's like the Wolverine. He doesn't age.
You're an airhead. You've been watching too many cartoon movies. And let me tell you something. I saw that. We watched that Thor, that Love and Thunder or whatever that you praised so highly.
Oh,
that
was horrible.
The dumbest movie I've ever seen
really
in my
bad.
Life. It was dumb.
You said
it was good. I did this on your recommendation.
Well, I'll explain to you what happened.
Why don't you tell me what happened?
When
did you get a massage from a geisha before you went? I mean, seriously, what, you know?
There's a lot of hype behind these Marvel movies, right? So I was living off of the anticipation of it being good.
So you didn't know after you watched it was bad? You were still like, wow, that was pretty good. And then the more you thought about it, it was like, wow, that movie really sucked.
I liked it the first time, but then when I watched it the second time,
terrible.
I said to myself, you know what? Upon second look, on a scale of 1 to 10, this movie's a 5.
Must be tough being a genius here. Team Batman Boxing said Joe Joyce already beat Hrgović in the amateurs and Jalalov. Jalalov is the guy to watch, in my opinion. He's the blue chip heavyweight coming up. That's the guy to watch. We'll see how he does. But that's, to me, that he looks like the real deal. But a lot of people look like the real deal early, and then they start getting fed some competition, and there you go. All right. Let's go on. The other fight here, ESPN, Shakur Stevenson versus Robson Kansekou. Shakur Stevenson lost his WBC and WBO titles on the scale. Came in about 1.5 pounds overweight. Now listen, in my opinion, man, Kansekou deserves a lot of credit here. Number one, he made weight. Number two, he had the option to not fight Stevenson. Okay, that's his option. He could walk away. By doing that, by walking away, he would have been paid in full because he weighed in, and that's considered showing up. He would have been paid in full. He would have maintained his rating, and he would have been next in line for a title shot since a 2-belt split. He would have had a title shot in his next fight. He turned it down. Now, obviously, there was some money exchange hands there. He accepted more money, and the fight was made. So I tell you what, man, he deserves a lot of credit for that because he could have got out of that. All his money, didn't fight. Boom, you know, but I think he deserves a lot of credit for making that fight happen and keeping that card alive. So good for him. Unfortunately, for Kansekou, that's pretty much where it ended. Shakur Stevenson won a lopsided unanimous decision, 117-109 twice and 118-108. Beeb, Shakur is very fast. A lot of people were dumping on this performance, but listen, man, he if I have one criticism of Shakur, he throws he doesn't throw combinations as much as I would like to see him throw combinations. He doesn't a lot of times he'll make a miss big without being there for the counter. I mean, he makes a miss by like a mile, but by doing that, you're out of position to get the counter as well. Short of that, I mean, you know, he hasn't been really tested, and he's been in there with some good fighters, solid fighters, and he hasn't been tested. He said before the fight, he said this will be my last fight at 130. He's having a lot of trouble making the weight. Clearly he was. You know, fast forward now, he said he's going to move up to 135. I don't know who he has a problem with aside from maybe a Devin Haney, which I don't think that fight happens anyway. But Shakur is looking like the next thing, man. He really is.
They're friends, him and Devin, but they both said that, you know, they would fight each other at the right time. Like when Shakur moved up, he admitted that, you know, him and Haney agreed that they would fight each other because it would make, you know, when it made sense. And I think eventually he will fight someone like a Devin Haney. He'll try to position himself to get a title shot because, again, you know, Devin Haney wants the big fights. He's been very vocal about that, right? And, you know, Shakur wants to become champion. Now, here's the thing. Would Devin Haney, eventually move up to 140 and not get the Shakur fight? That could be a possibility too. But again, Devin Haney is a top-ranked fighter now. So is Shakur Stevenson. So I don't see an issue with that fight being made unless Bob doesn't want it to happen. So
yeah, you know, Lomachenko is up at 135. There's a lot of money fights at 135. You know,
Bob's got 135 on lock, really, if you think about
it. And I'd like to see, you know, you still got Tank and Ryan Garcia floating around there. I'd like to see them guys fight anybody live would be good. Just a warm body, you know, Tank's fighting guys on pay-per-view that no one's, you know what I mean? That no one really cares about. Why he's fighting them on pay-per-view, I have no idea. And I like Tank. I think Tank's a talent, but I think you got to put him in there with somebody, you know, who's going to make him work. Somebody who's going to fight him. They're talking about rematching that other guy again. I'm like, come on, man. Nobody wants to see that again. You know, they're just going to keep it. And as long as Tank stays with Mayweather and all those guys over there, it's going to be the same. He's never going to realize his potential, and he'll never have a big fight. He won't.
Who's he going to rematch? Isaac Cruz again?
Yeah, they're talking about him rematching Isak Cruz or whatever. You know,
Jesus Christ.
And
it'll be Isak Cruz.
And Porgy, I like Tank, man. I really do. I like Tank, but I want to see him fight somebody. You know, I mean, I want to see him fight again. You know, but I want to see him fight a live body, man. I want to see him fight a live body.
Everyone wants to see him fight a live body, not just you.
Yeah. On the undercard here, Keyshawn Davis from the Olympics versus Omar Tienda. Keyshawn Davis looked impressive here, beat Omar Tienda by a TKO in 5. He looked really good. Keyshawn Davis is really good. He's being trained. He's from Norfolk, Virginia, but he's being trained by BOMAC, and I guess he's out with Terrence Crawford and all them in that little stable over there. He said he fights. He spars with Terrence Crawford daily, so you know he's going to be good. You know, and Crawford's getting good sparring from him because that guy is no cupcake either.
That's impressive.
Yeah, Louis Reyes says the Shakur whitewash Loma.
I'd pick him to beat him.
Yeah, I think I would, too. He's just going to be just too quick. I think he's just too fast, man. And it's not like Loma's not fast. Loma's good at game planning, but, it's going to be tough. That would be real tough. Loma against Devin Haney or Shakur would be very difficult for him.
And you know what's funny, too, because a lot of people underestimated this about Mayweather. I think they underestimate this about Shakur. I think both of them are pretty physically strong. They're very wiry. If you notice, like, Shakur is a strong guy. He's pretty big for the weight class, too. I think Shakur will eventually be a 147-pounder before his career is up.
He's going to be strong. Yeah, he's going to be strong. And I think that's why he's putting on muscle, which is why he's having a hard time making weight. because he's putting
it's
on
quality weight.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
quality.
For sure. Because he's not fat by any stretch of the imagination. There's nothing that he can lose. But you know what it does? You know what does irritate me, Beebe, is when he says my body's still growing and the guy's like in his 20s. Your body stops growing at 18. You're done. You're not growing anymore after that. You may be putting on muscle, growing like that, but that's not the same as you're still growing. You know, that's silly. Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts when people say that. Let's see here. On DAZN, Kid Galahad versus Maxie Hughes. Maxie Hughes beats Kid Galahad via majority decision, 114-114. Overruled, 116-111 and 114-113. To tell you something, Beebe, Kid Galahad's not the same since that KO. And you know what? He ain't going to be the same.
I'm not saying he should retire,
but he's done. He's never going to get back on the echelon he was. He's never going to get back on that top tier like he was. No way. He's done.
It reminds me of Teofimo Lopez. I mean, after he broke his esophagus, he's never going to be the same anymore either.
That punch from the mountain will do it, man. That punch from the mountain will do it.
Not everyone has the bone density of Joe Joyce.
Six, five.
if the mountain hit Joe Joyce like that,
he would have broke his hand.
Have several fractures of the hand after that.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about bone density here. Six times.
Yeah.
A man's man. Six times the average. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Crazy.
That's right.
Kid Galahad. Sad, man, because I really like Kid Galahad. I really do.
It's a pleasure to watch. Like this, I really admire his style. I like the way he can switch it up. I like his slick counterpunching style.
Yeah.
But I don't know, sometimes a fighter just hits a wall, and he may have just hit that wall, and it is what it is. It's sad. It's sad to say. It's sad to see, but it's the reality sometimes of being an athlete.
Meldrick Taylor, you know, in that fight against Julio Cesar Chavez was never the same.
Perfect.
I don't care if he came back and won a title. He came back and won it against a lesser opponent. He was never the same.
Spot on your analysis on that one.
And here it is. I mean, he's going to do the same thing. I mean, it's Kid Galahad has run into the same thing. He'll fight again. He'll fight once or twice more. And Tony said it the best, man. The wheels are falling off. That's it. You're right. 100%, man. 100%. Hannah Rankin versus Terry Harper. Terry Harper wins. Who cares?
Whoa!
What'd I say?
You got to give these women credit, man.
Didn't you interview one of these broads earlier? You interviewed – who did you interview?
Hannah Rankin. Very, very nice young lady.
I heard she was asking about me. What did she say?
Yeah, she wants to know why you're so disrespectful to the women. You know what I like what she said? And I even did this before I introduced her. I didn't even say the female champion. I just said the world champion.
Right.
And she likes the fact that she, just call me a champion. You know, you don't have to call me female or whatever. I just want to be known as a champion.
Right.
And I kind of admire that about her.
I admire that too. You know what else I would admire? If they started fighting 3 minutes instead of 20 minutes.
I asked her the question, and she's the one and only person that answered that question. Because we ask it to all the female fighters we interview.
All of them.
And
every one of those cupcakes says, no, I want to fight 2 minutes because that's all I get paid for. All I get paid for is 2 minutes. Two minutes is all I get paid for.
Credit to Hannah Rankin. Guess what she said? I would love to fight the 3 minutes.
There you go. Finally.
Gotta give her credit.
Finally, and unfortunately, she lost. So, yeah. Who are you picking in that fight? You were picking Hannah Rankin, weren't you?
I'll be honest with you.
Oh, wow. She's a friend of the show. A friend of the show.
Yeah, but you really think I'm like Robbie? I can't be a Fairweather fan.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
You know that guy. He's a Fairweather fan.
My own.
I can't be like him.
Oh, B, putting a poor mouth on Robert, man. What's the matter with you?
No, he switches up his favorite team every other week. I can't be like
him and Chacal always take the winners, don't they?
I call Chacal the chalk. All he does is pick the favorite.
Chacal.
This is what he does. This is what Chacal does. He'll do like a six fight parlay and he'll bet all the friggin' the favorites. I said keep doing that. all the minus 1,000s and puts him in a parlay. Thinks he's Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek.
Jesus Christ. What kind of strategy is that?
Eric's evilness is below us people. Wouldn't it be funny if Georgie Porgy spelled a Peeble?
What's happening, people?
Who is the one dude in the chat? Every time Georgie's on, he puts it out the phonetic spelling of everything. Ryzen Beeb, let me ask you a question, Beeb. When was the last time did you ever think like we'd be covering a Floyd Mayweather fight dead last? Because I came real close not to covering it at all. I came real close not to even putting it on here.
Well, I'll give you credit for even wanting to talk about it.
Oh, Lord, man. So $29.99 these people paid for this, all right? I think it was a four-fight thing on Ryzen. You could have watched it on TikTok for free. Everybody's posting or Facebook for free or whatever. I'm sure it was on Twitter as well. Floyd Mayweather knocks out Mikuru Asakura in the second round. Asakura rocked Mayweather in the fight. He hit him. It looked like he hit him with a right hand. And Mayweather actually, you know, he looked like he did the dance a little bit there. He was stunned. And, you know, Floyd was able to walk to the ropes and then, you know, kind of gather himself and everything like that. The shot, and Kenny Bayless, of course, was a referee. I mean, we can't have, you know, a Mayweather fight without Kenny Bayless. The shot that Mayweather hit him with, it was a right hand. And, Beeb, if you haven't seen this, go to YouTube, check out the knockout. That didn't look like a particularly hard shot. It didn't look like a shot that caught you sleeping. Didn't look, you know, even if you didn't see it coming,
Chael Sonnen said that he heard from a reliable source that all these exhibitions are, and we know the tension one was definitely fixed.
Definitely fixed. That was clearly fixed.
That was clearly him taking a dive, tension. I'll tell you one person who didn't take a dive. Tell you one person who was handed the envelope and he looked at it and he said,
"Get back,
get it out of here."
Title
and
pack,
that's
baby.
That's Ohio's finest, Logan Paul.
That's right.
Logan Paul gave Mayweather his first defeat.
Ohio, baby. You know, we don't take those envelopes in the back alley, son. We don't take that. We don't lay down for anybody. How we do? Now, so get this, Beeb. On the undercard was Mayweather's bodyguard. Now, I didn't see this fight. Jizzy Mack is his bodyguard's name. Jizzy.
Man.
Jizzy
Mack.
The
nickname Jizzy.
Who, yeah, right? Like, who would call themselves Jizzy? Jizzy Mack got knocked out, by the way, I think the third round or something like that.
Jesus.
Annalise Jaramillo says there were so many people in attendance, Floyd could still draw a crowd. It was in Japan,
It was in Japan,
and it was a Ryzen show. Ryzen's a pretty big organization over there. But, yeah for sure. I imagine that Ryzen place would have been sold out either way. But there's a good point. He does draw a crowd.
They like him over there a lot.
But.
They do.
But.
She's right.
He can't draw a crowd here. He's not going to be able to fight one of those guys and draw a crowd here. I don't think he can.
I think that's so.
That
would be a challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you're right.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's, I don't know, man. I don't know how much he got paid last night, but you got to think that he's in financial straits.
Well,
you got to think that he's in financial straits.
Then someone writes an article about him showing off these two watches that were worth $10 million. And once again, okay, a lot of people have assets, right? And they spend their money on assets, which are very, which are depreciable assets. Like a lot of these cars and all this jewelry they buy. You don't see Bill Gates,
property,
Yeah, you don't see Bill Gates or friggin' Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett tweeting out this shit, right? And even Jay-Z doesn't, and 50 Cent and all these other guys that have money, you don't see them tweeting this stuff out. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, all these guys that Magic Johnson, all these guys that are, some of them even billionaires, they don't floss like that.
Nah.
Like if you got money, you don't have to tell people you got money. Just like if you get laid, you don't got to tell people you get laid, right? Simple as that. People will always have to tell you something they're lacking, right? And he may have all these assets. He may have all these assets. He may have all these nice cars. We don't even know if he's renting this stuff or not, if he really owns it.
Well, look at all those videos. Right? You remember those rap videos where they have all the gold Cadillac and everything like that, or the gold stretch, limo?
Rented.
They're all rented. Everything is rented. Yeah, everything is rented, man.
So he may have all this stuff, or he may not. He may own this stuff, or he may not. Whatever the case may be, but I'll tell you one thing. The IRS is still knocking on his door. He's still paying them in installments.
I would imagine, yeah.
So he doesn't have a lot of liquid cash. And some people live their life like that. I hear people say, if I get cash, I just throw it into something. I don't like having liquid. I don't like having cash on hand. It's a risky business, bro.
Yeah, it is.
That's a risky business.
That is, man.
Beeb's mostly liquid.
Beeb's all Beeb's liquid. Beeb Industries is 100% liquid. That much.
I like cash. Cash is king. That's our motto over here. Cash is king. We don't have to floss. Look at this chain that I got on right now. This was my grandmother's chain. This chain's probably over 100 something years old. My grandmother, when she was in Italy, found this on a farm. And this is the only piece of jewelry I wear as a memorabilia to my grandmother, man.
That's it.
You don't see the beeb flossing. No, look at this. Nothing. No rings, nothing.
Liquid beeb, baby.
I'm liquid, brother. I'm liquid. Some of my clothes are so old, they can walk around by themselves.
Well, that's why he sends them to you. That's why the dude sends them to you. You know what I'm saying?
I got pairs of pants that are friggin' 5 years old that I still wear them. I don't care.
There you go. There you go. Nacho. Nacho says Eric Beeb has to be liquid because Lois would have left a long time ago if he wasn't.
She ain't never leaving the Beeb.
Wow, she ain't ever leaving the Beeb because he got her in that closet.
Honey dips. These honey dips are like boomerangs, man. I can get rid of them; they'll come back. There you go.
Oh man! All right, so check this out. So next week, the upcoming fights, there is none. The next fight is on October 8th.
Oh my God!
Right. How about that? Area code 516, New York. You're live.
What's up, guys? It's Jesse. What's going on? How are you?
Jesse, what's happening, man?
What's up, Jesse?
All's well, man. Shout out to the
Jesse
champion
is our
last
PR
night,
person.
But... No,
you guys
you know
didn't
what
know
happened?
Jesse is our PR person. I'm trying to give you dap.
No.
Just take it and listen. Jesse is our PR person extraordinaire. All the interviews and everything like that, they come from this guy right here.
Jesse Regan.
Oh, thank you.
House.
Thank you. But I was going to say, it's Alvina reached out to me and she asked if Habib could interview.
Great. We don't need the behind the scenes.
So,
we've all told them what we wanted to tell them. We
but
just
that,
gave
that,
you
I'm
that.
Saying that's because,
I don't
but I'm
care.
Saying
listen,
that's because
I don't care
Beeb
who called you, who shot
interviewer.
John, or whatever the case may be. Who
Jesse,
crossed John,
you
know, whatever.
You have to break
saying.
The fourth wall.
Right.
You have to break the wall.
I'm just saying.
You're not required to do
well,
that.
But you just gave me a phone call, and then I called her back, but she didn't answer. And then I called somebody else. I don't need to hear all this. I gave you dap. And now I'm regretting it. I'm almost going to hit the mute button. That's where I am. You're our publicist.
I was
publicist.
Just saying
because
Beeb is
who I introduced.
Interviewer.
And next thing I know, he's gone off on a tangent, Beeb. This is your boy. And you know what, Beeb? This is your problem now.
We promoted him to the director of PR for Beeb Industries.
Yes.
You already got the position. You don't have to give us your resume anymore, brother. We know how you work. We don't want you telling other people the blueprint. Keep that under wraps, Daddy.
We have a request, Jesse Rinkin. We have a request. Tony wants you to bus, his words not mine, bus a freestyle, Jesse.
Bus the freestyle. Okay. Yesterday, I didn't keep up with the boxing camp, but I'm glad Serrano brought it back to the PR camp. So, Amanda Serrano, can't believe you guys skipped over. Oh, did I miss it? Did you guys not mention it? Amanda Serrano with another win for Puerto Rico. The only thing I'm like a little worried about with Amanda Serrano too is how come these fights are going the decisions? She used to knock opponents out. Like, I'm wondering what's going on with that, you know. But, you know, I've been following her. So, you know, another win under her belt, you know. And then Joe Joyce versus Wilder, I think, is the fight I want to see, you know, regarding Joe Joyce. Do you guys think that Deontay Wilder possibly get upset on the 15th?
I think it's a long shot. I think it's a good fight for him. The guy's a good – I'll tell you this. I think Wilder's going to have his hands full for maybe 4 or 5 rounds until he lands that shot. But I don't think Wilder wins a decision unless he knocks him down a few times. That's what I think.
What do you think, B? Oh,
I got a favorite Wilder in this fight. No, I got a favorite Wilder in this fight. But I have questions. I mean, you don't come back from two fights back-to-back like that.
Two losses. He's got his reputation mostly on two losses, right, Beep?
He's getting up there he's getting up there in age.
Three losses.
And I don't know. I may lay a little something on Helenius. I may sprinkle a little something on Helenius. I'm having a feeling about. I mean, something's telling me that Wilder may not come back from this 100%. Something just.
He got pounded both fights. All three fights, I thought he got pounded. He lost every round, conceivably just about every round in each of those three fights.
And he's getting up there in age, and he's had injuries. His hand's been broken a few times.
I think he beats Helenius. I think he beats him. I don't know who he fights after that, though. He'll probably go on to fight, what's his name, Andy Ruiz or whatever, but I don't know, man.
Let me just say this. This situation reminds me of the Mike Tyson situation. After he lost to Buster Douglas, then he lost to Holyfield. He started losing that aura of invincibility, and I think – Wilder's kind of losing that a little bit, like, because Fury got up from that right hand not once, not twice, but 4 times. And people look at that and they say to themselves, wow. You know, and that hand's been broken before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's you break your hand a couple times. And after a while, you stop throwing it the way you normally throw it. You have this defense mechanism in your body that's telling you, like, okay, I could break this again. Maybe I can't try to punch through my target like I normally would. Subconsciously, that just happens. You know, and you may not even be able to control that, as crazy as it may sound. So that you got that as well, right? And his punch resistance, like, it's like this. Every time you get knocked out like that, it's like a crack in the ceiling, right? You crack, 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 or a crack in the chandelier. At some point, he's just going to shatter. You know, the more you get knocked out like that, the more you get – it's almost like a guy who suffers a concussion. What happens? He suffers he's prone to suffer from concussions again. So I find it hard to believe that his punch resistance has not been diminished. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I have
all right,
a feeling.
Justin, we're gonna get rolling, man. We're going to get rolling.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your question.
Right. Okay.
530, Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Robert.
Robbie, let me start off. I know why you weren't here last week. I had a conversation with Mrs. Herrick. She told me you bet Canelo by stoppage. You lost the rent money, right? So you had to go out. You had to go out and do Uber Eats for a couple days to try to get that money back. You were out in the car doing Uber Eats.
I didn't call in for this.
I know what you did.
You were praying
that Golovkin was going to get knocked out, hoping and praying that Golovkin was going to get knocked out, and then it didn't happen. And that's why you weren't here last week. I know all about it. You didn't want to hear it from me. I told you he wasn't going to get knocked out.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
What you think of those Bengals today, baby? What you think of those Bengals today?
Good. They did good. My fucking Raiders sucked.
It's a family show. What are you doing?
You think you're out here?
Oh.
You think you're out here?
Jesus.
You think you could just drop F-bombs? Can't do that. You got kids watching this.
Oh, my God.
I can do whatever the hell I want, guys.
Get off that high horse there.
It's on a soapbox here.
Anyway, I scored that fight 10-2. I don't know what those judges were looking at.
What fight did you score 10-2? I lost track of what he was saying.
Canelo Triple G.
Oh, no.
That was like 6 years ago, bro.
You're not going to come in here and try to talk about the fight that you didn't want to talk about last week. Because you bet on Canelo to win by stoppage, you had your pieces in a bunch last week. You were all discombobulated. Now that you've recovered, you want to come on here with your big boy pants. You want to talk trash now? No. That's not going to be allowed.
Style, thank you so much. You said typical Raider fan.
You had the opportunity last week. You blew it.
Anyway.
All right. Who's T-Style's team? He's in El Paso. Who's his team?
Who?
Yeah, who
does T-Style? Who does T-Style root for? He's in El Paso.
Probably like Robbie. He's a fair weather fan.
He roots for like the Cowboys or something.
Yeah, maybe so. But as far as yesterday, Joe Joyce looks impressive. I've never been a big Joe Joyce supporter. But I have to admit, yesterday he looked very impressive. What he did to Joseph Parker, nobody else has done. I don't know who he's going to fight next. It's going to be interesting to see who he fights next. It won't be Wilder because Wilder is going to fight Helenius, and then he'll fight Ruiz. And providing he gets past both of those guys, you never know what direction he's going to go in. So I don't know who Joe Joyce is going to fight yet. But yesterday what he did was very impressive. I've never really been a Joe Joyce supporter, but that performance yesterday was impressive.
Of course you're a Joe Joyce fan now, because what are you? Robbie, the bandwagon jumper, Herrick.
I don't jump bandwagon.
I root for my fighters,
but when they're done,
you have a lot of my teams. Every other week you have a my team.
Whether people want to face that or not.
D Style says, thank you so much, D Style. He said Raiders fans cuss on Sundays. Who knows why?
They laid a damn egg.
Funky. Joe Joyce is the real deal, baby. The real deal. I've been saying it for months now.
He's by far and clearly the second best heavyweight in the world right now.
Been saying it forever now. I've been saying it since I seen this guy, seen him before. I was like, this guy's going to the top. Been telling you guys.
No one comes close to TF, but he's number two.
I think that's a good fight. I think that's a tough matchup for TF. I really do. That's a tough fight for him.
I got you calling him TF now, too. I fucking love it.
Hey, Beeb, do you think Fury goes through with the Joshua fight? Because I've heard lots of different rumors.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
What else you got, Robert?
No, that's about it. I was very impressed with Joyce, because Parker's a good fighter, and nobody's ever beaten Parker like that. Parker's lost, but never like that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Joyce and what direction they put him in. I'll catch you guys later.
All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold, okay?
Make sure you give Mrs. Herrick your half of the rent money because
Stop
you blew it.
Get out of here with that.
Betting Canelo by stoppage, and I told you he won.
No, he didn't lose the rent money.
Get out of here with that stuff.
He lost the car payment, not the rent money, Beam. There's a big difference.
Same thing.
804, you're live.
I'm on the show, man. Hello? Hey, y'all, how y'all doing today?
Every time we come to him, he's either at a drive-thru, he's paying for something, he's in the middle of something else. Hey, did you guys get back to me? Oh, yeah, absolutely, you know? That's what we live for.
Man, I hope
you
everybody's having
a good weekend. The number six?
Nah.
Would you get the number six?
Home, man. Nah. Nah, I'm at home, man. Nah. But yeah, we went.
Gotta get
we
that house in order. You can't let these people walk all over you. You're the king of that castle. Can't let people walk all over you, man. Tell them.
I heard your head so Joyce by 11th round TKO. Is that right, Corey?
No, man. Nah, let's talk about this fight, man. Yeah, so with the Joe Joyce and Joseph Parker fight, man. Wow, man. I was completely wrong on that fight, man. I thought Parker would win because he had been training with Tyson Fury, and he's pretty intelligent. You know, he's an intelligent fighter. But I did not see a weigh-in, and I think the weigh-in would have showed everybody everything they needed to see on how the outcome of the fight was. Joe Joyce came in there a little heavy at 270-something. I believe it was his highest weight ever. Joseph Parker came in there, you know, pretty fat, pretty kind of thick too. So, you know, both. And I feel like right now, you know, with Joseph Parker and Joe Joyce, you know, when they fought, I thought Joe Joyce, you know, showed that he was, could be a dominant fighter and that he was eating Joseph Parker shots to the face. And I was just surprised that he was able to do that. You know, Joseph Parker has a pretty good, you know, punch.
Wow. Guys, this guy's got six times the bone density of an average human being. That's why he weighs 270. His skeleton itself weighs 200 by itself. He's got an adamantium skeleton, this guy. He's got an adamantium skeleton.
He's only got like 70 pounds of lean muscle. Rest of the skeleton.
Six times the bone density of the average human.
That's crazy.
And you're surprised that he's able to withstand this? Just like with Wolverine. They can pull him up against a brick wall. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it.
I think you just shut up about Wolverine.
Jesus Christ, how can you hate on Wolverine? Go ahead, Corey. Okay.
So Joe Joyce, man, he did well. He definitely got the stoppage at the end of the fight. I've seen Tyson Fury, he looked crushed. That you know, he was. I thought he thought that, you know, him helping Joseph Parker, you know, would help him through this fight. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it just made him worse. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought it just made it worse. I thought, you know, Joseph Parker looked the worst that he's ever looked in his career tonight. I mean, excuse me, this weekend. And, you know, him moving forward, man, he needs to definitely contemplate retirement. You know, I really thought he would win that Dillian White fight. I mean, he's starting to lose now, you know, some of these fights that I thought were winnable fights back when he was in his prime, when he fought Andy Ruiz and stuff like that. Joseph Parker is definitely not in his prime anymore. I think he definitely needs to think about, you know, hanging him up. And as far as Shakur Stevenson goes, I want to touch on that. As far as Shakur Stevenson goes, he looked pretty good. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. He looked pretty good. I did not like that he missed weight, but at some point your body go, you know, like Beavs was saying about Joe Joyce, your bone density. I mean, you know, Shakur Stevenson is more bigger for the lightweight. And I think that he, you know, he had to move up. You know, it was inevitable. I didn't know he was having weight problems that bad, but everything comes to the light, you know, when you get on that scale. And, you know, I think he couldn't have trained any better. You know, I really thought that he did well with his training. And, you know, he's a very adamant professional. And I know Terrence Crawford is going to make sure that he does his best to make that weight, you know, helping him out during training camp. Is a very good, you know, very good fighter to help him out, a world champion with all the accolades, you know, one of the best fighters in the world. How can you learn from anybody better than Terrence Crawford? And I think that helped him and catapulted him to beat Canseco, and because Canseco was a gold medalist. And I remember him fighting in the Olympics. It was the same Olympics Shakur Stevenson fought in, I believe. And, you know, he won gold medal in a different weight class than Shakur. And Shakur Stevenson showed that he was resilient. He got hit a couple times more than I think he got hit in his fight more than he might have ever got hit in any of his other fights. And, you know, he showed that, you know, he was not gonna fold, and he was there to win. I think he was going for the knockout, but he couldn't get it. Canseco is definitely a really good, tough, rugged competitor, possibly a future champion at 130 once Shakur Stevenson moves up. I like what I've seen out of Canseco. At some point, you got to understand Shakur Stevenson is far away from the rest, but now that you put him at 135, I mean, everything's open now, you guys. You got Javante Davis, Shakur Stevenson, and, you know, Devin Haney. And, you know, I think Devin Haney's going to get through the Cambosos fight. And I just think right now, with the best 135-pounder in the world, is between Devin Haney and Tank Davis. For Shakur Stevenson coming into the division, he's saying he wants Lomachenko right off the rip, man. I know you guys are going to touch on that later in the show if you already didn't already. I just want to say great show, you guys, and thank you for letting me burn, man. You guys have a great Sunday.
All right, you too, Corey. Thank you so much here. Corey's out. 774. You're live.
And this guy changes the area code. Like I
so this day, you'll be my new fool.
Yo.
Where you been, brother?
He does. He changes the area code like crazy, right?
I haven't called him a little bit.
What's going on with your team?
I haven't called him a little bit. You guys turned the show into a Mayweather hate channel. The hate Mayweather time.
Did you see the fight? Did you pay for the fight?
Hell no. You should have paid for that.
What are you crying about?
I'm tired, bro. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know why he's news. Why he even news?
I almost didn't put him in. But I figure he was boxing.
You
should
not even
so
count.
That's
like counting like amateur fights and shit like that. Anyways, didn't come here for that shit. I mean, let me talk about Shakur real quick. Bro, come on, man. Shakur is a dirty fighter, bro.
Whoa!
The first round, out of the three first punches that he threw, two of them the back of the head. After that shit from the second round on, that was shit fucking a low blow fucking the Lord. Low blow festival. After he was done with that shit, let's go with the motherfucking tackle and suplex the motherfucker down. What we talking about here? The man didn't even make way. Nobody even talking about he's not disciplined. Everybody else who makes way, oh, he ain't disciplined. How dare him? He's not a professional. Yo, Shakur is giving a free pass. Golden fucking brick road fucking ticket all the way to heaven, baby. Nobody even saying shit about it. Come on, bro. I ain't applauding that shit. That wasn't a good performance at all. Everybody is not going to go 12. Not going to go 12. He went 12. Nothing impressed me at all, though. Nothing at all. Anyways, I don't have a lot of time to fucking burn. I want to know what's up with you, Eric, and the pie bed, and I'm the champion, just to know what's going on.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I don't think we made a pie bet. I think we made a bet for the title. You are the champion, and
how
you're going to have to defend that
title,
or I'm going to strip you, and that's the way it is.
You don't got a pie bowl in the history. DC
we didn't.
Yo, DC
I don't think we better
Listen,
buy. You're going to have to come up with the evidence.
Of course. Every time I come here,
yo, do it,
guys,
do
I got to come
it.
Up with the video evidence that you know I got. So mine is supposed to win this right now, but you know I got it. So
know.
Just don't
pulled,
to yourself. You know I already got it packed down.
He pulled the soundbag for me. He pulled the soundbag for me one time from like 5 years.
He's got a lot of
listen,
bikers. What else
listen,
is he going to do?
Listen, this is real simple. Hold on. Hold on. We don't have to burn time. Listen. Listen, this is real simple. We don't ever have to burn a lot of time on this. When we ever have a fucking title shot without a pie bed in between, he always been
we've
for
had
a
lot.
Bed. That's
We've
never
had a lot,
happened.
Man.
Never
yes,
happened
we
for
have.
The title of the Ringside Reporter Championship. That's outrageous. But if you want a video,
I don't know.
So,
I want to see the evidence.
Next week on Sunday.
If
I'm
set
I'm going to link you
if
up
If
anyway.
I set it, I'll do it.
Anyways. So just make sure you get your pie ready and crown me.
Sounds good.
Yo, strap me up.
I've already crowned
as
you.
The reigning,
I've already shouted you out
as the
reigning
champion of the Ringside Reporter. That's all I'm asking you.
We did.
What you mean we did?
Who did you take?
So how you didn't take the
fight? What fight was this?
What fight
you
was this?
Up,
what, yeah, what
Joshua,
fight was
he? Picked up
what?
Joshua, and I told him that Usyk going to fuck him up.
Oh, yeah, Joshua Usyk. I think it was Joshua Usyk, yeah.
Joshua,
of course you know it
yeah.
was that.
Yeah,
I got the video. That's there. Don't go take it out now.
Go to the bakery after the show. Get in the fridge. Come on.
just make sure you get it ready, baby. I want Boston fucking cream, though. Greentown, we're here.
Go to Pure.
Listen.
The show and buy the pie. Get in the fridge, please.
He's got a good connection
listen,
from jail, doesn't he?
Yo, listen, Joe Joyce. I forgot what caller was talking about, Joe Joyce and Deontay Wilder. That's the fight. I think that's
yeah, I think
done.
It is, too. I think
fight.
It is, too.
Yo,
I don't think it's going to get done.
The UK
I don't think it's
going to
get done.
The United States going to support, and I know Eddie could be down.
I
want to
see it done.
Fight.
I don't think it gets done. I don't think it gets done.
It is possible. It's up to you guys to make it happen. Everybody pushing
go.
For it.
There you go.
Anyways, everybody out there, support the channel. Donate. I got to go. I'm out.
All right, Georgie. I heard they were doing inspections over there, so he's got to get the shanks and stuff out. Yeah. Did I don't think I'd bet a pie bet. I really don't. If I did, I'll pay up. No question. I mean, I've always paid up. And I always pay up better than you, Beam. I mean, what do you put like a dash of whipped cream on your nose and then call it a day? That's weak, brother. Let me tell you that.
Can't subtract from other stats to yourself. You can't subtract from other stats to yourself. Don't even try it.
I always do. What else am I going to do? 410, you're live.
What's up, guys?
What's
Hello?
The word?
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, doing pretty good. Missed the show last week, unless you didn't have one. I'm not sure. But,
no, we
have
Yeah,
oh, yeah? Okay, I missed it. But,
you said the press release out there. You didn't get
What's that?
I said, we sent the press release out to your email. You didn't get it?
No, but I did watch the fight. I mean, you guys have probably discussed it. The fight didn't turn out to be the fight I thought it was going to be. Canelo won the decision, which was the likely pick, let's face it. But I thought it would be a much better fight, man. I really did. Golovkin, he looked slow. He looked old. And most poignantly, he was gun-shy. That's a sign of a shot fighter right there. You know, he was in range most of the night. Most of the night he was in range to shoot his jab out there like he had done in the other fights, and he just didn't do it. He was just gun-shy. He looked like he was there to pick up the check. So I guess that's a wrap on Golovkin. I mean, maybe he can do some damage back at 160, but I don't know. But as far as Canelo I thought looked like Canelo. I mean, he looked pretty much like he always does. I thought he looked pretty good. I do think he needs a rest. I've been saying that for a little while now, that he needs to slow down a little bit. That hand injury may be a blessing in disguise. You know, fighters, Ray Leonard did it, Floyd Mayweather did it. When they get at the back end of their career, it's good to take a break. Canelo, you know, regardless of what some people might think of his opponents, I mean, this guy's been very active, you know, and he's been fighting championship caliber opponents. So I think a break will do him good, and hopefully some of the dust will settle and some of the other fights get made. I'm not too optimistic about the other super middleweight fights, Plant, Benavidez, and, you know, Charlo, but hopefully something washes out down there. Joe Joyce looked good last night. Every time I see him, he looks good. He reminds me of George Foreman. He's a big, bruising, strong guy. He's slow. His feet aren't that good, but he seems to have good conditioning for a guy his size. He's kind of slow, and he's got a good chin. That's another thing, because he took some mollywops from Parker in that fight. I mean, Parker snuck him several times with some really big shots, and, you know, I'm not too familiar with Parker, how much of a puncher he is, but they were solid shots, and Joyce took them. But we can't get carried away and say he's the best heavyweight in the world. I mean, that's Tyson Fury. Until someone beats him, he's the top. He's the best guy, at least in my opinion. And that's where he should be. He's still undefeated. He's a two-time heavyweight champ. And, you know, he ended two reigns. He ended Klitschko's reign, and he ended Wilder's reign. And then lastly, Deontay Wilder. Personally, I think Wilder is shot. But, you know, I thought he was shot going into the third fight with Tyson Fury. The way he looked in the second and the third fight, he wasn't just that he got smashed to bits. He was lunging with that right hand. It didn't look the same as what it had before, where he was whipping it. He was kind of like stumbling forward with it, and his legs weren't there, and he didn't have endurance. And, of course, the punch resistance wasn't, you know, who knows if he ever really had good punch resistance, because he never really was getting punched much. But he couldn't stand up to the punishment from Fury in either of those two fights. And like I say, he didn't have stamina. He looked to be gassed and concussed, and he just really looked bad to me. Helenius is not just a sparring partner of his. He's a longtime sparring partner, so that kind of tells me something. I mean, they would be foolish to bring him back against a top guy anyway after those two beatings. But picking Helenius, I don't know. I like Helenius. You know, he can maybe pull an upset, but it seems to me that's the safest opponent they could pick and still bring him back to see what he's got left. But at this point, I think it's hard to say. The only thing that's hard to say with Wilder is that some bitch could be 60 years old and still have a puncher's chance. You know what I'm saying? He could be, you know, an old dude and still be able to have that one hitter quitter. And then lastly, let me say this about Shakur Stevenson. I did not like what I seen from him. He was on a nationally televised ESPN. That's a huge format. He was fighting at home. That was a chance for him to really make some fans. Instead, he doesn't sacrifice to lose the weight, loses the title on the scale, and he was throwing low blows throughout the fight. He hip-tossed his opponent not once but twice. And I'm used to fighters being cocky. That usually doesn't bother me, but it's something about that kid that bothers me. And I was bothered by him that night. You know, you don't go hip tossing your opponent twice. He'd already been warned. A lot of the punches that it looked to me, he was punching low, and he was warned, hard warnings twice on that. And right after the second hard warning, he went right back and hit the guy low, like he didn't care what the ref said. He just acted like a brat, and he probably needs to be humbled.
I agree, but good luck finding somebody to humble him. I'll tell you that. Right now, I think he's one of the best fighters out there, and I don't see anybody anytime soon making that fight, making him actually work to fight. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll be a better opportunity to get a real gauge on him at 135, because the fact of the matter is he was just cheating the scale, really, at 130. I mean, he looked like he was twice as big as his opponent. And when he fought Valdez, same thing. Now, I don't really like to call fighters weight bullies, because if you make the weight, that's all you got to do. All you got to do is make the weight. What you put on after the fact is up to you and your trainer, and it's not always an advantage to put on a whole lot of weight. They can overhydrate, and that's just as bad as underhydrating. But I also think that that while he was able to do it at 130, the size advantage, he probably not going to have that type of size advantage at 135. He's going to be fighting some guys more his size. And then we can start to get a better accurate assessment. What he's done at 130 is good. I mean, his opponent was a quality opponent, and I had him winning, you know, all the rounds mostly. I don't know if I even gave old boy a round, maybe one or two rounds, maybe, you know. Yeah. And he was a good opponent, and, of course, his opponent prior, that was a good opponent. So, I mean, he did good work at 130. Why could stay there, but now he's got to move up and fight some guys his own size. And then we're going to be able to see if he looks as good as he did in his last two fights and his first two at 135, then maybe the hype can, you know, the hype train can roll on him.
There you go. All right, my man, we are going to get running here, and we're going to go to the news, B. Good call as usual. Baltimore always brings it, man. He always brings it. Always has good stuff, man. People are anointing him the caller of the year already. B, caller of the year already. How about that?
He's all right.
Cool Boy Curry says no. Wow. Wow, a lot of no's now. All right. He's got the whole year, man. He's got a whole year. He's a rookie. It's okay. All right, guys. News and rumors here. Let's talk about this first. We talk about Triple G and Canelo, so we can just get this out of the way because I don't ever want to hear about this fight again. Dan Rafael is reporting that Triple G and Canelo got 500 or 550,000 buys. One of those two, or in between those two. Eddie Hearn is saying the pay-per-view did over 1 million buys worldwide. Beeb, 500,000 is a good number. It is a good number. For Canelo and Triple G, this is not a good number. This was what DAZN wanted. They, you know, they said, hey, we have to have this fight. You know what I mean? We have to have this fight. And they moved heaven and earth to make this fight. It was made, and it was a bomb. It wasn't a great fight. It wasn't close. It wasn't, you know, good or bad, 500,000.
I don't think that number's accurate. I think that could be the DAZN numbers, but what about the cable companies and the satellite numbers?
Well, he said 1 million worldwide. He said, Eddie Hearn said 1 million worldwide. And I think the 500 number you're hearing is America, is the U.S.
Yeah, I in my opinion, and Eddie Hearn said this, but I even said it before he said it, I suspect that the number in the United States is probably closer to 800,000, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of other areas where this fight was being shown, like in the U.K., right, it was being shown at 4 in the morning. So if there's 1 million worldwide, you mean to tell me that the other 500,000 from areas where, like Australia or whatever, that were watching this thing at 4 in the morning, you think the other that attributed to the other 500,000 buys? So in my opinion, I think Dan Rafael's number, his sources say, again, who are these sources? Are they people that don't like Matchroom? Are they people that don't like Eddie Hearn?
You know, we got a real problem. I think we got a real problem in journalism today. D-Style, thank you so much. He said, break down the numbers, Beeb. But I think we do have a real problem with these people quoting sources and this and that. And nobody really knows the story. Everybody's in a rush to get the story, but nobody really knows the story. And they're printing stuff before they actually know. Go ahead.
You have to look at Dan Rafael. And Dan Rafael has been respected throughout his career.
Yeah.
He's not with ESPN anymore. Now he's a freelancer. Now he's kind of on his own, right? He doesn't have the guaranteed salary from ESPN like he did before. So now he's got to join the rat race with the other guys, the clickbaiters. And I'm sorry. I think
he charges for that stupid newsletter he sends out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in there.
Then he came out and said that Crawford and Spence was close a done deal from November 19th, and then people come out and say no, it's not. So,
well, no, what's his face said that from ESPN, the other guy you can't say.
He co-signed it.
Yes,
he said
yes.
The same.
Yes, he did.
So what's happening now is Dan has to compete with these other guys now. So now, before, he didn't have to be fast and loose with it anymore. He didn't have to be fast and loose with it. But now he has to be fast and loose with it now because he doesn't have the guaranteed salary from ESPN. And again, this is just all my opinion. I've seen a change in Dan where now he's coming out. Now he's kind of becoming clickbaity like the rest of them. And in order to survive, he probably feels that he has to do so.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic about it, right? How would they get those numbers in? Like Dan reported this, I think, on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. You know as well as I do. If you're not going to get all the cable. You bought it on satellite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you explained to me why.
Yeah.
Right? So the people that bought it on satellite and the people that bought it on cable, do you think all those numbers were in on Tuesday? The zone numbers,
Wednesday and Thursday is usually when you get the numbers.
Even then,
when we usually get them. You know what I mean?
Sometimes those numbers are still coming in a week later, 2 weeks later, right? You don't know, right? So, for him to say that this only did 500,000, the live gate did 22 million, right? The fight before that, I think did 27 or something like that. So, you have to just kind of look at each fight and see how it dropped off a little bit, right? So
yeah.
I think the first fight did, I think, something like 27, and I think the second fight did something like 25. Now this did 22, right? So did this fight do as good as the other two? No. But you can't tell me it dropped off half. It did. It was cut in half from the first two, right? I would say there was a dip, but not substantially, like maybe a 20% dip. Maybe, but a 50% dip? No. So in my opinion, Eddie Hearn said that the pay-per-view buys were 850,000 in the United States, right? And the rest was international, right? I speculated it was around 800,000, right? So
800,000 is a good number. If it is 800,000 in the U.S., that's a good number.
I think it's about 800,000. Eddie's saying 850. Because, again, going back to what I said before, you're not going to tell me 500,000 people from the UK, Canada, United States, Canada, Australia, and all those other, Mexico, all those other international areas, they couldn't have made up for the other 500,000 because, again, the time zones wouldn't make sense, in other words, for them to be able to generate those numbers with the fight being shown in that time zone. So I think Dan knows. See, this is another thing that these guys can say. They all have plausible deniability because when they get proven wrong, what do they say? Oh, it wasn't me. It was my source. So they
what
have
was
to
you? Because you're co-signing on your source by putting that news out there.
Well, you have to.
You're vouching for your source, you know?
Yeah, you have to be responsible enough to know what sources are credible and what sources aren't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So who are your sources? You don't have to say who it is, but you can kind of explain. You can explain. Yeah, it was free in Mexico.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. It usually is.
But
yeah.
Australia and UK and you know, in Eastern Europe and stuff like that, the it's different over there. But yeah, it was free in Mexico. He's correct. But again, like, you don't have to exactly say who your source is, but kind of tell you where the source came from. Like, oh, well, someone in the a source from the cable company that I know, or a source here. So you don't have to necessarily say who it is. But at the end of the day, you're just saying a source. That could be anybody. That could be a PR person from PBC. That
could be anybody. It could be a janitor. It could be anybody. You know what I mean? It's. So let's talk about, I'll tell you what, D-Style, I think you're right. I think you're right on the money here. I think they make educated guesses a lot of times. Yeah, I agree. I think that's right. I think that's 100% correct. But let's talk about sources here, and let's talk about news and everything like that. No news at all, Beebe, on Crawford Spence. For a fight that's supposed to take place in November, there is zero hype, et cetera. On the other side of the coin, AJ Fury. Fury's taken to social media and stated that he'll move on if the contract isn't signed by Monday. Beebe, did either one of these fights get signed?
Well, I'm the biggest Tyson Fury fan ever. But even now, I'm getting sick of these antics, of this attention-seeking behavior, this clout-chasing behavior. You know, you're putting deadlines on the fight. If you really wanted this fight to happen, then you would just sit back, let your team work on it. But Tyson Fury is just using this as a publicity stunt, in my opinion. And I was very hopeful the fight was going to happen. Now I think he's going to end up fighting Manuel Char. And why is a heavyweight champion of the world fighting Manuel Char, with all due respect?
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, that's horrible.
It's a ridiculous fight. It's a horrible fight.
Yeah, that's silly.
Sorry, I'm just going to be honest about it. No disrespect to Manuel Char. Credit to him for getting the fight if he gets a good decent payday. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Spence Crawford, I don't know what to believe. I'm kind of inclined to think that fight is going to happen, because when it's quiet like this, that means that they're fine. Working hard. Maybe
but
I'm being
still, I mean, you have no time to really promote it, you know. And this isn't really one of those fights where you don't need promotion. You need promotion, because again, these guys aren't exactly household names.
Yeah. So that fight's in November.
November 19th is what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Something doesn't seem right to me about that either. So I'm going to say now I'm very skeptical of either one of those fights happens, and it's very, very disappointing, because, you know, Fury did this one time before with the whole Joshua situation, when he knew he had to fight Wilder the third time, and I kind of knew that that was going to happen.
That was going to happen. Yeah, I mean, you were,
people that talk, you know, that Top Rank, that was really going to, you know, that was a situation, right?
Right.
And I knew that. And Bob was double talking, and he was just dragging it out. And I'm not going to go back into that. I know why he did what he did, and why that whole thing played out the way it played out. But in this situation, you know, this was something that I was like, wow, this would be great. Finally, like, we're going to get that fight, Joshua and Fury, because if it doesn't happen now, it may never happen. And even now, you know, people were excited about it. Even Joshua coming off those two losses. The narrative would be Joshua is coming off these two hard losses with Usyk, and he's still willing to go back in there with arguably the best heavyweight in the world. That was the selling point of this fight, right? The two biggest names in UK boxing, two biggest names in heavyweight boxing, are getting ready to fight each other. This could have broken all records in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this was the perfect storm, in my opinion. Was it the best timing for Joshua? Absolutely not. But full credit to him for putting all that aside and saying, you know what? I just want to fight this guy. This is the fight I always wanted.
Yeah.
If I don't take it, I may never get it, so I'm going to take it. And I think Fury and the team put forth a contract that they knew was kind of almost a contract that was unsignable, really. It was a horrible contract. It was probably one of the worst. Obviously, he was going to get paid good money, but in terms of, like, Joshua's going to make money no matter who he fights. But
right.
In terms of split and the timing and everything, and, you know, rematch clauses, whatever, this was a horrible contract. It's probably one of the worst contracts that ever crossed Matchroom's desk for Anthony Joshua. Had to have been, right?
Had to be. 60-40. When he was 60-40, he took it. And he said, yeah, I'll sign it. So
he still accepted.
Okay, so, you know, what I'm wondering is Eddie Hearn saying, you know, we can get you more money to fight this guy, or we can get you more money to fight, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering if the contract, you know, I don't know. I'm just, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, like I said, December, you know, December 3rd, this fight's supposed to happen. November 19th, this fight's supposed to happen. That's less than 2 months away, man.
Yeah, it's just...
That's a hard... Again, man, that's going to be hard to promote, you know?
For them to think that there's not going to be a backlash against Tyson Fury...
Yes, he's
got to
stop
backlash,
this, yeah.
There's going to be a backlash, and it's going to reflect on the amount of people that go to that Char fight. And if it's going to be on pay-per-view in the UK on BT, I don't know how they're going to broadcast it, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of attention given to that fight, because there's going to be some type of backlash on Fury. We're continuously trying to play the public.
Would you pay for Fury Char?
No.
I would not either. No way.
No. I would put my foot down on that one. I would put my foot down on that one.
D-Style says, thank you so much. D-Style, Fury versus Chisora 3 is like Trilla versus Manila compared to the Char fight. Thrilla in Manila. Maybe yeah. Trilla. I don't know. There you go. Let's see here. Eddie Hearn, Bede, is suing Ohio's own Jake Paul for $100 million. Let me repeat that. $100 million. Come on, man. $100 million? Eddie Hearn has filed a defamation lawsuit for $100 million-plus against Jake Paul. Jake Paul claimed that the Serrano and Taylor fight was fixed by Eddie Hearn. My guess is this doesn't see the light of day. This is a hill of no apology or whatever. I don't know. This ain't going nowhere, though. Alexander Usyk has stated in an interview that he would like to fight Tyson Fury. So there's a good fight for Fury that he probably won't take. He also, after he fights Fury, would like to fight, this kind of threw me a little bit, Canelo Alvarez. Given the fact that, you know, he's a heavyweight and Canelo's a 168-pounder. Babe, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What
it's
is that?
Crazy. It's a fight that doesn't make sense. I just got a text saying, you know damn well you'd pay for Fury, Char, stop it.
Who texted you?
My man in mail car. I guess, right? Yeah, I'd probably buy it.
You know you'd buy it. I was surprised you didn't buy the Floyd fight this weekend.
Probably fell asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, guys, hit the like button. If you guys haven't hit the like button, make sure to hit the like button. We don't ask you for much here. Only 42 likes. That's it? Oh, come on, guys. Come on. Disgraceful. Disgraceful. Come on. We don't ask you for much. We just ask you to hit the like button. That's all we ask. Not asking you to work in a coal mine. Just hit the like button. That's it. That's your only motion. You don't even waste any energy. Come on. Dave, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Not to leave these people to hit the like button.
Tell you what, I'm sitting here begging for it, you know? All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch the Beebe on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.
Robbie, give Mrs. Harrington rent money.
Oh, stop it, Beebe. What's the matter with you?